welcome to Battle of the Ranking Factors. I'm Connor, and as always, my co-host, Jess. Today in the world of SEO, we are going to be discussing keyword research, which is a hefty boy. So basically what we're going to be doing is talking through the basics of keyword research. We will very much be going more in depth in later episodes because we would need probably 24 hours to really talk about every aspect of keyword research, and that would be insane. So we're just going to keep it pretty basic. We're going to talk about where do we start, what tools you can use, free and paid. What to look for when conducting keyword research, and then some random thoughts and how to make an SEO plan. So Jess, let's start with where do we start? Where does an SEO start when they are going to sit down and conduct keyword research?
So when we sit down to conduct keyword research, I think that there are three core or big things that you need to think about. So you need to know the business that you're going to be doing the keyword research for, what they're selling, what their end goals are, and kind of who their competitors are. And you take all that information, and I think that's the best place to start. Obviously, there are a bunch of different ways you could go about it. If you have a website that also maybe already has a ton of content already on there, you could also look at what those keywords look like too as part of your initial keyword research. So that's kind of where I would start. I don't know if you have like your favorite first thing. Like my favorite first thing in terms of keyword research is I really like to look at what the competitors are ranking for first. That's my favorite place to start. Because I think it's kind of like easy, low-hanging fruit to grab. But I don't know if you have a particular favorite place to start, or if we should start elaborating kind of on what those three topics are.
I generally speaking, we'll get more into it later on, but I always like to start with what am I already ranking for, and what can I easily get to drive traffic that I'm ranking on page two, page three, four. And that kind of all goes into the general keyword research process that I'm pretty sure everyone should follow. And before we get into that, one of the things I wanted to address earlier on is I feel like in the SEO world, a lot of times when there's these guides of like how to build your online presence or whatever, it's just do keyword research. And like, okay, what is that then? So I think that's one of the things that we really want to address in this is how do I actually do keyword research? And so I think from there we can go into what kind of tools people can use. Now I think anyone who calls themselves an SEO should know Google Search Console. It is a free tool. It's really easy to connect to your website, and it can pretty much give you all of the keyword data that you need for your site. At least to make decisions on like what you're already ranking for. Basically what GSC will allow you to do is it lets you see all of the pages, keywords, their average position on Google, the average click-through rate on Google, how many clicks in a given time frame that they've gotten, and then also how many impressions that those keywords get. And the important thing here with Google Search Console impressions is that they are actually eyeballs on your links. It's not just you showed up in the top 100 positions for this keyword. It's actually a user has seen your link on the SERPs. So you can either get a click from that or you don't, and that factors into your click-through rate. But GSC is probably my favorite place to start to determine what I'm already ranking for well, and then what are really good opportunity keywords for me, right? I'm on page two, I'm on page three. I have a lot of impressions, but I don't have a great click-through rate. How do I get that keyword to page one? And how do I get a higher click-through rate on it? All of that data is already in GSC, which is great because it's also free. Okay, so as far as free tools go, GSC is pretty clear and obvious. What about paid tools? And which ones do we like and why?
So, you know, obviously I went right for the throat when I said that I like to do competitive research first. very telling of my character. You know, and for a lot of those competitive research, when you're looking at competitors' traffic and competitor keywords, I personally find that SEMrush does work the best for that at a high level overview. I think it's a little easier to navigate in terms of that. It's easier to pull those pages up, pull all those files up and then cross-reference them really easily and quickly. You know, but that's not the only way that you can use SEMrush as that paid tool is for competitor research. The Keyword Magic tool is also an excellent tool that I like to use anytime I'm planning anything or looking into a specific request from a client or looking at new ideas as well. But, you know, other than that, there's AccurAnker and
Ahrefs. Is technically, but they're all basically the same. Like they all kind of function in the same way. It's just the way that you see the data.
Right. So a lot of it too is I'm a very, you know, visual person. Mm-hmm. So when you're looking at paid tools, I think it is important that when you are looking at keyword research, and if you are looking at, you know, investing into a paid tool, you invest in the paid tool that visually makes the most sense for you to navigate and work through. It'll make that process of keyword research, I feel like less daunting. I feel like keyword research can be very heavy. It can be very time consuming. So, you know, looking at estimates for site rankings, competitor rankings, you know, your top pages for competitors, mm-hmm. estimates on search volume, traffic potential, all of these different things, it's going to be best, I think, if you use the paid tool that is visually most appealing to you. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of all I have to say about that, unless you have to.
Yeah, I think one of the benefits of the paid tools is like we were talking about with GSC, that's for your site, right? You can see what your site ranks for, what's driving traffic to your site, but you can't really see that for your competitors' sites. So one of the best places to go is these paid tools is you can actually see what pages are driving them traffic, what keywords are driving them traffic, without just doing a ton of manual searches and just trying to like piece it together on your own. You're actually able to see that in a large scale, which makes things a lot easier for you. A couple little mentions for other tools that I like to use. Answer the Public, I know you're familiar with this one, but basically it's just a question generator. You put in a general topic. And it will take all of the Google searches that use that general topic and turn them into questions. So it'll say like, this is the questions that have been asked for this general topic. Now, with that tool, it doesn't really give you any sort of like metrics to go along with it. It just gives you like, this has been searched. So you definitely want to verify those questions in, like you said, the Keyword Magic tool or some other paid tool that you're using. And then Google Trends is another free tool that Google has. And basically it just lets you see the popularity of a keyword and that it's not dependent on location. You can set a specific location. You can check any timeline. You can compare keywords. But like I said, it doesn't necessarily give you any sort of like volume data, difficulty level or anything like that. It just kind of gives you like this term really started being searched in March quite a bit. So it does give you some sort of like popularity information, which is good for business goals. So that's good.
And I'll also add too that I use Google Trends to back up my keyword data. Sometimes, you know, when you're planning SEO and you're planning out all those keywords and you're planning out your plan, sometimes those keywords, obviously it fluctuates. And so I think a lot of times when clients or you're working with a page that maybe you're not seeing the performance you wanted, I usually revert to Google Trends just to kind of see like, okay, it looks like there was a huge drop in the popularity if you're using that as a free tool. And I think that's the easiest visual as well for, you know, if you're working with clients for them to see because it's accessible to them as well. So I just wanted to add that in there.
Agreed. Yeah, for sure. Okay. So we have the tools, right? We have the tools that we're going to use. We have the general, like where do I start? Like knowing your business, knowing what your internal goals are, and then also determining your competitors really. So what do we actually look for when we are doing keyword research, right? Like what are the key data points that we're looking for? What are the insights that we need to take? Basically, what is the meat of what we're doing when we start keyword research, right? So what's the first thing that you really look at when trying to start this process?
I guess, for me personally, too, it depends on what the goal of the page is. But mm-hmm. if I'm doing, you know, general keyword research or I'm in the very beginning steps of that, search volume is by far the most important thing. You know, we look at search volume, you know, competition level, Those are probably the two biggest ones, but I'll say that search volume is the one that is most important. And that is mostly because obviously we're trying to make sure that whatever we're pushing out for users is something that people are actually searching.
Right.
You know, so for example, I was looking up moon pie recipes today because I just have been wanting them. You know, and so, you know, I was just curious as I was doing like some internal research for my own benefit, you know, moon pies or moon cakes, I should say, have a search volume of, you know, over 60,000. But that's super broad. So that wasn't what I was wanted, what I wanted. So then I was looking at, you know, moon pie recipes or moon cake recipes. Mm-hmm. And then that had a search volume of about 3,600. So you can see that, you know, as we're looking at search volume, that knowing that is important, because then too, if you go down even further down the pipeline, looking at, you know, moon cake, moon pie, simple recipes, that's like an average of 10 per month mm-hmm. for search volume. So, you know, knowing and having an understanding of that search volume, I feel like is very important depending on what your goal is and what you're trying to reach. And then in terms of the competition level, I would say that it is important, you know, but at the same time, it depends what you're competing with. I feel like, you know, their example of trying to outrank Walmart for Walmart, obviously is going to be difficult. But if you're just looking at, you know, moon pie, moon cake recipes, well, there's not a designated brand to that. So even if that competition level is higher, that keyword difficulty is high, it's still kind of, you know, worth, right. I feel like attainable in some way, right?
Yeah, this is, it's always tricky. So I want to take a step back and say, let's go with the definitions, right? So search volume is the average searches in whatever given time frame for that keyword. The competition level or keyword difficulty, depending on whatever tool you're using, they're basically the same metric, but basically it's just like a number value that tells you how hard it will be to rank for that keyword. We're going to go with the classic SEO term here, but it depends for almost everything. So depending on if you're a mom and pop shop in whatever small town, maybe 10 average searches a month is worthwhile for you to target, right? That's could be a really valuable keyword for you. But if you're Walmart, you're not going to even look at anything that probably has less than 100,000 searches a month, or something crazy like that. So it all depends on what, you know, market you're in, what industry you're in, what your business goals are, to take, you know, search volume metrics into account. But then also competition level is really tricky, because if you are, you know, Walmart competing with Best Buy, you can go after those like near impossible keywords because you have such high authority. But if you're Jim Bob's tire shop in, you know, the middle of nowhere, you really aren't going to have a lot of authority to go after those high difficulty keywords. So you need to really try to find those, like, those high volume, low difficulty keywords, which are kind of the holy grail when it comes to keyword research. High volume, low difficulty. If you can find those, you're going to do great. Now, that all being said, I think one of the things that I often bring up when it comes to keyword research that a lot of SEOs forget about is just using Google. It's pretty obvious, but I think we often just skip over it. If you have aspirations for your business to rank for a certain keyword, throw it in Google. It's going to tell you what Google wants to see, because you're going to see the top ranked pages. And then you can just kind of analyze those pages as a user, because you are a person trying to create that page, trying to make a better version of that page. And see what you can make or find from looking at those competitor pages that have those rankings. Just make a better version. I think it's often overlooked when people are doing keyword research, is that they don't throw those into Google and just look at it from a user perspective. So we have the what are you looking for? I feel like we kind of simply touched over it, right? You have the search volume, you have your competition level. And then you have looking at the SERPs as a person and seeing what you can rank for, or seeing what you can do better to take those rankings. So we have the basics of it, right? Now, what do you do with all of that information that you've gathered over this period of time. You have all this data, you have these keywords with the search volume and the difficulty level and the analysis and the competitor pages and all this stuff, right? What do we do then?
You have to make a plan for it. I think that, you know, obviously too, when you're looking at keyword data, the plan needs to make sense.
Yeah.
For your business goals. I have seen a lot of times where there are keywords that are great, but it doesn't make sense to target those right away because there are better opportunities right there in front of you. Mm-hmm. And again, touching on the fact that if you are a smaller business, you want to target those high search volume, low difficulty. So in the beginning, when you're making that comprehensive plan, you want to build that authority by enhancing existing rankings for immediate boost. So just optimizing those pages that you already have on your site, using Google Search Console there, target new rankings that'll bring in users to your site. So this will be your new content creation using those keywords that you can help build off of and link to other pages on your site in some way. Look at what your competitors are ranking for and take those ideas or those keywords and try to apply it better to your site, your goal, your business, and then keep repeating it. I probably optimize the same handful of pages multiple times every year until I get just where I want it. And then by the next few months, I might need to reoptimize it again because the way that users search for things changes constantly. You know, sure. So you got to kind of, I don't know, just... And a lot of it too, I think, is as you do it, a kind of a gut thing too. At some point, it'll just kind of super come natural and it'll make sense because, you know, again, you're a user too. So you know what you're, you know, as a user, what you want to see, you know, right. What Google wants to see. So it's easier to make that plan that way.
For sure. Yeah, I agree. I think the key point here is when you've got this list of keywords that you're trying to target and take all this data into account, take a step back and pretend you are a user trying to find your site, right? What is the thing that you are going to search? How are you going to search? Look at the SERPs and see what shows up when you search that and see what you can take from that. What is Google liking when you search that term? What can you do better or what can you mimic to try to take some of that traffic? Always take a step back as a user. Whatever you do for the person, generally speaking, you are going to be rewarded with rankings for doing the best for people. So I wanted to go through and give some tips to people about the types of pages that are generally going to create and what keywords you might want to target for those types of pages. And I feel like kind of similar to what we talked about in our last episode about like the standard types of pages that pretty much every website is going to have. You have your homepage, you have your informational Q&A pages, a product page. So let's talk about what keywords you want to try to rank for those types of pages. If you are trying to improve your homepage rankings, what are you looking for?
Well, and again, it's complicated. Homepages are probably my least favorite to optimize and work with because it is a difficult, page to work with.
Yeah.
But ideally your homepage, remember your homepage is supposed to tell people what your business is.
Yep.
So that's going to be your branding, essentially, as much as you can get on that page in a clear, concise manner. So it'll be... it won't be your service or product keywords necessarily. That's why you have those standalone pages, but it'll be, about your business's name, where you're located, kind of just that community, because you want to get those local generic keywords in there because that's going to be the best place for it.
Mm-hmm.
But again, it's going to be the homepage is probably, I feel like, the one that you're going to probably want to look at and optimize the most out of all of your core pages. And it's probably going to take a while to get that just right for what your business is in your area. You could also do things like, cake shop in, you know, Oak Park or cake shop in Chicago. Those are the types of keywords we're talking about. Because those are not ones that you're going to necessarily throw on your products page or, on a service page or anything like that.
And those types of keywords would be really awkward implemented anywhere else, right? Like if you're like talking about, the types of cake that you make and be like at the cake shop in Oak Park, we make blah, blah, blah. Like that would just be a really awkward phrasing. And you wouldn't necessarily want those pages, like you said, to rank for Cake Shop in Oak Park. You would want your homepage to rank for that. So yeah, it's best, I think, like you said, to really go with branded keywords for your homepage is probably the best case scenario. So let's go towards Q&A pages. We really did touch on this last episode, and I feel like these are the simplest when it comes to like page layout, but they can be a little bit tricky for keyword research. And we'll kind of touch on it in the random thoughts when we go over semantic match, because there's some important distinctions that I want to make there. But when you're doing Q&A page research or informational page research, right, your H1, the first thing that a user is going to see on that page is your primary keyword, most likely, right? If you're trying to think of a good example, if you're talking about a new bicycle or whatever, and like what are the brakes like on the, or how to replace brakes on this new bicycle, like that's your H1, right? That's your primary keyword, is how to replace brakes on this bike. But then what you're going to do to kind of support that, because you might not have the most content and you want to make a thorough page to target a bunch of queries, is you do, you know, some supplementary keyword research to try to find supplementary topics that go along with that main topic. So you could talk about brake lines from there. You could talk about tire types. You could talk about, you know, other things that are relevant to the bike that maybe aren't exactly related to how to change the brakes, but they support the general topic of the page. So when you're doing that keyword research, you just need to verify that those supplementary topics and keywords have good search volumes, have lower difficulties. You're able to find that people are actually searching for them, so you're not just putting content on the page that nobody cares about either. Any thoughts on Q&A pages or informational pages from a keyword research standpoint?
I don't really have anything else to add. The only thing that, too, I see a lot that I just want to bring note to is that the keyword stuffing that I feel like is a practice that at one point in marketing, it was really important. And those buzzwords and those keywords and those clickbait kind of intros were a big thing. And, you know, with the way that Google's algorithms work now, it's not necessary, I think, to keyword stuff the same way. So feel free to also then structure your page with those keywords in a way that makes sense as a user. Remember, users prioritize. So if it sounds clunky when you're, you know, shoving all these keywords into the first paragraph of your intro paragraph on your page, it's not necessary when you can easily break that out throughout your entire page. You know, again, Google is able to work through that now. So that's the only other thing I would add, just kind of as a thought to this, as we're kind of tying in keyword and content structure together.
For sure. Yeah. And then just to quickly touch on like a product page, I think those are pretty simple also when it comes to keyword research, is you're selling this product or set of products. Your keyword research for those types of pages really is just to see how many people are searching for those products, right? Just making sure that they are searching for them. If one is way heavily searched for that versus another type, then maybe you want to split those up and have two separate pages rather than having one page together. So I think for any kind of product pages, it really makes sense just to like throw those products into some sort of you know, keyword research tool, see what's searched the most, and then, you know, make decisions on if you want to break up those products, group them together, based off of the data that you're given there. And we'll touch on this more when we go over semantic match keywords, which I think we could right now. So let's talk about, these are the random thoughts that we didn't really necessarily know how to group together with all of this. So let's talk about the near me keywords. Now these are only really relevant for local businesses. These big national chains, maybe not as relevant, or like strictly internet companies, not relevant. But near me keywords, what are our thoughts here?
I don't particularly like the near me keywords. I find that if we're looking at exact matching near me keywords, it sounds super wrong in content. That's the best way to put it. Like, you're not going to read something and be like, on your homepage, if someone's reading through about your business, they're already on your page. They already know your product or an idea of it. They should, at least. They're not going to you know, if you read like, oh, this, you know, we are the Chicago bakery near me, like that's that matching. It sounds weird, and yeah. I have seen it, so I just wanted to like touch on that. Mm-hmm. But I think that based on the way that, again, that just working in Google is, you get all those local businesses pulled up right away with through Google My Business and things like that. So the near me keywords aren't as important, I think, as targeting, I don't know, more, almost more broad term keywords in some instances that can already help you rank, because Google will understand based on other cues that you already are in this area. So you should come up in the SERPs for your location and your target cities and stuff anyway.
Exactly. Yeah. No, Google, I'm under the assumption that Google will switch out. They'll basically take that near me term. If someone says like bakery in Oak Park or bakery near me, they'll swap out near me for whatever city or whatever location that person's searching from. So they're not, Google doesn't do exact match searches when it comes to locations, right? It will swap out where you're from or where you are, and show you the result that is most relevant to you based on where you are. And so it just doesn't make sense to target near me. Like you said, it's super awkward and clunky in content, but then also Google's smart enough to know what it actually means. When someone searches near me, they want that actual location, so that'll show you that location. So like, it's like we said, it's best to target the actual locations within the content rather than near me, because that's silly. Couple things that I had mentioned earlier, we would touch on semantic match, and then some keyword volume trickery that comes along with semantic match keywords. Now, when we talk about semantic match, it's basically saying that a keyword is essentially the same keyword, just reworded in a different way. They're the same keyword, but when you pull them up in these tools, they're going to have separate search volumes for each one. Because they're technically different, but they could be just reworded or have a word or two swapped out that basically mean the same thing. So the example that I, you know, think about is super, super simple, but like if you look at keyword A and it has a volume of 20 searches a month, and you immediately think, oh, it's not worth targeting because it's just not popular enough. But then you look further down that list, and that you see keyword A has three different variations, right? It's got, in each one of those variations, it uses a different word, it's reworded, however it happens. And they all also have 20 searches a month. Then in reality, you're really looking at targeting 80 searches a month rather than just 20, because if you combine all of those up together, they go with 80, but you're really only targeting one keyword. That's really, really important to keep in mind when you are doing keyword research, because you can immediately write something off if you immediately see that it has a lower volume, when in reality, the semantic matches have a combined volume that is worth targeting. So just keep that in mind when you're talking about, or when you're doing keyword research.
Can I add another keyword research volume trickery thing that I sometimes do? So, you know, for, and these are just made up numbers, so don't call me out for them if they're not exact correct. But in terms of, you know, going to your Q&A, like a bicycle brake replacement or brake repair, you know, page. And let's say that, you know, brakes doesn't have a high search volume of, you know, they have a search volume of 10 or 20 per month. But let's say that, you know, if you're looking at building that page out with tires, which is still relevant to that, but tires has a significant, you know, higher search volume. Mm-hmm. That's another really great way to kind of pull people into your site in that way too. So I just wanted to add that too, that sometimes comparing not just semantic keywords, but those keywords and pages that you build out with those mixtures of those low volume and high volume and instances where it makes sense, is also a great way, I think, to kind of play with that volume trickery in some ways as well.
Agreed. Yeah, for sure. One other note that I had that's just random is looking at keyword research from a local perspective versus a national perspective. It's really tricky to find keyword research tools that will give you local search volume. I know SEMrush within their projects will do that because you can set a specific location, but it's really tricky to do that at an affordable price for like a high number of keywords. So my general advice when it comes to local versus national, and this is really only applicable to certain industries where they, you know, care about like super hyper local rankings, is that if a keyword has a high national volume, chances are it's going to have a significant enough local volume, because if you have a high national volume, you're going to have local relevancy to a certain extent. So I wouldn't necessarily worry about verifying that the local volume is strong enough if you have a high enough national search volume. And then I think the same can be said the other way around. If you are doing local search volume and it has a strong enough local volume, then you really shouldn't even worry about the national volume, because it's locally relevant to your user base, your site. It's going to take care of itself. And that's just a little piece of advice that I always have, because it's a question that I've gotten in the past is, are these search volumes local or national? And then it's always a dance that I have to do that's awkward. Jess, any last advice when it comes to keyword research?
I think, you know, just again, hitting home on the fact that, remember that you're a user too. You have searched something in Google. You have searched many things probably in Google or Bing if you're that kind of person. but, you know, just make sure you're using that muscle too, and thinking about when you're doing keyword research too, you know, whether it's a local or national volume, what would you be searching for? And then verify that with actual data. Yep. And that's like kind of a go-to whenever, you know, you're feeling stuck or anything like that. But I think that's all I have to add, other than the fact that I am 100% sure this is not going to be the last time we talk about keyword research or implementing keyword research to supplement something somewhere. But that's all I got.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, we will be, keyword research is never done, like we said earlier. So we will continue to talk about it as we go further in depth in other topics. But that kind of covers the basics of keyword research. Thank you for listening to Battle of the Ranking Factors. As always, please subscribe to the podcast, follow us on Twitter, and then tune in next time as we are going to kind of give a technical SEO overview, talk about best practices, how to keep your site healthy from an SEO perspective, technical SEO perspective, and easy fixes that you can do yourself and things to watch out for. If you have any topics that you want to discuss or you want us to discuss, please comment, let us know. For Jess, I'm Connor, and we'll see you next time. Thank you.